Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Dakota Life is a series on SDPB TV and online. It covers stories about interesting South Dakota people, places, and things. And new episodes air the first Thursday of each month at 8 Central, 7 Mountain. Tomorrow's episode features the work of SDPB's Melissa Hammersmith-Severs. She joins us now from our Vermilion studio. Welcome, Melissa.
Hi, Lori.
Also with us, SDPB's Katie Beam, whose work is also featured in the program. Hey, Katie.
Hi, Lori.
And joining me in the SDPB Sioux Falls studios, Jackie Hendry. Hey, Jackie, what's up?
Not too much, Lori.
All right, let's talk arts in South Dakota because that's just one of my favorite topics. And I want to start with you, Melissa, because you got to interview Darwin Wolfe and tell a little bit of his story. Where did you go to find him doing his work now? Because he always kind of packs up the Wolfe bronze truck and takes his show to some pretty interesting places.
Yeah, it's really remarkable to see, you know, his mobile studio. he was a roster artist for the South Dakota Arts Council, so you know, he became accustomed to visiting different schools, and so a portion of his day would be teaching, and then another portion would be spending, you know, 4 hours demonstrating his work. So he became accustomed to, you know, packing up whatever piece he was currently working on and bringing it with him, and continuing his work on whatever piece he might be doing. And so he really enjoyed interacting with the public and viewers, and he actually says that he enjoys working on location, wherever that might be, more than working in a studio, and he does that more frequently. And and we caught up with him at the VA hospital in Sioux Falls. Their coordinator had been looking online and came across his work, and he was currently working on a tribute to the first female fighter pilots, mm-hmm. and it's going to a group in Peoria, Illinois. But he really enjoyed his time at the VA, and it was a really fitting place to catch up with him. And I've also seen him working at Sanford, too, so mm-hmm. he roves the area.
Yeah, he goes into schools, and he's part of mm-hmm. the roster of artists in schools and communities. Tell me a little bit about who you talked to that was just sort of watching Darwin do his work and what their thoughts were.
Right. So patients, you know, you've got a lot of downtime in waiting rooms, and so he's set up right in the atrium of the VA hospital. You know, he says that he prefers places with a lot of natural light, and there's big east-facing windows there, and so that gave him some space. And some of the organizers say, you know, it's provides relief for patients who may be just there for an average appointment, or if they're waiting for something more serious, it's mm-hmm. it's kind of a performance art. So some patients, they come and go and only get to see a glimpse of the work. But then for volunteers who are there more regularly, like James Washi, he mans the coffee station, so which is just feet from where Darwin was working. So he got to see the work in progress over the weeks that Darwin was there.
He draws attention. Every day we're down here, there's people that just stop and watch him. And I've been watching him now for, gosh, it has to be at least 3-4 weeks. And it's amazing to see what a guy can do with his hands from one day to the next. And if you miss a week, boy, it really comes back. Because there's blue on there, then that's all got to get covered up. Everything is so small and so articulate that it's just amazing.
Mm. And the great thing about this story, too, is that people, it's not just Darwin's work, but it's how people react to it. Because, like you said, you know, we sometimes think that this studio work and the work of the artist is solitary, confined to a little space, you know, somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, what does Darwin say about the sort of interaction he has with people as he works?
Well, you know, he had resources right there, you know, and, you know, sometimes people would just wander by. Like, he could tell that they were taking it in, but sometimes they were maybe a little hesitant to visit with him. But then other times, a patient commenting on his work opened up an opportunity to hear their stories from their time in the service. But then he got to visit. So the piece is a female fighter pilot. And it's as though she's walking either to her plane or maybe she just finished up a flight. You know, she's carrying a helmet. She's got her sack over her shoulder. And so then conversations with people who are actually pilots give him some insight on how he should finish the piece.
The feedback here has been really, really good, both on the critical side and on the appreciation side. They've told me their stories over and over again just because I'm kind of telling them a story here. And then I've had three different pilots come in and tell me, oh my gosh, that's spot on. Try this differently. That's a little bit off. And they've been really helpful in helping me compose this and get everything really right.
Melissa, I think she's walking to her jet or to her aircraft because her hair is still pretty, you know, like if you take that helmet off, you know, that hair is entirely different. I'm going to throw that in. So in my imagination, I think she's going to her mission instead of being done from it.
Yeah, that's a fair statement that I hadn't considered, but you're totally right.
I'll head on over to the VA and I'll tell Darwin, you like mess it up a little bit because.
Yeah, well, he might not be there, so.
He might be on to the next. On to the next place. And let's move on to the next segment in Dakota Life because these vignettes all kind of weave together. And Katie Beam, let's talk about the Latte Art Throwdown.
Yeah, so Latte Art competitions, which are known as throwdowns, as you said, they're sort of taking place at coffee houses throughout the country and in South Dakota. And the Bean Coffee House in Vermilion held a Latte Art Throwdown last winter. And newbies and experienced baristas come together in this really fun, competitive atmosphere to create latte art.
Which is pretty ephemeral. I mean, it's gone fast.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. It is, if folks don't know, latte art is when a barista pours foam onto the surface of a cup of espresso. And the pour, which is what the judges call it, the pour and the baristas, the pour is in a decorative pattern like ferns or rosettes or swans. So you may have imbibed one yourself at your local coffee house.
I have not because I don't drink coffee.
Oh,
but
well.
I feel like I've missed out on a great.
I'm sure they do decaf too. So,
so this was an incredible thing to watch because I had not seen it before, and a lot of people always wonder. You know, you see it on Instagram,
right.
Or you know, people put pictures of their beverage at the place that they're at. So, but I've never tried it myself. So who are the judges, and how does this sort of? Because this is kind of a fun, low key. You know, they just all point at the winner,
right
at the end. One,
yeah.
Two, three, point.
Right. Very fun, very low-key, very social. The judges, in this case at the Bean, there were three judges. They are from the coffee bean and coffee house industry, and including from Barista Magazine. And the judges judge the pours on certain criteria, like the level of difficulty, the symmetry, the contrast, and the fullness of the cup.
All right. And that's if you mess up, too, that's going to be in everybody's... Everybody gets to see your mistake in front of the judges as
That's
well
right.
as.
Yep.
All right, tell me some of the people who were there. You talked to Cristobal and Jesus.
Yeah, so Cristobal Francisquez is a barista at the Bean, and he organized the event. And he and his buddy Jesus Iniguez, since high school, have had this really healthy competitive relationship. And so they went head to head at this latte throwdown, and that was really fun to watch them sort of pitted against each other. Jesus eventually won, but he also almost got bumped in one of the rounds, and so by
fun.
A newbie, I believe.
And then tell us about this this new competitor here. This is her first time.
Elena Freeman of Vermilion, this was her first competition. She's a college student and a part-time barista, and she just decided to do it just because it sounded like fun.
Well, I've got the milk down, but now it's timing the way the milk goes in. You have to make it like go off the bottom the right way and then start the actual latte art at the right time. And then it's really easy in an 8-ounce mug to spill. So that's probably the most challenging part for me.
And it has to be full.
It has to be full because that's part of customer service, right? Because there's a real customer service aspect to
it. What made you bring this? What? How did you sort of decide? Is this art? Is this not? Like we're doing the Dakota Life about art here and artistic expression, art in a coffee cup.
Well, I think art. This is Melissa. art takes on so many forms, and there's so many opportunities to, you know, a blank canvas comes in very in a variety of different formats, and I think it's human nature to decorate things that you care about. And Cristobal, he had shared his thoughts on it that, you know, when you're a barista, and especially, you know, like coffee shops, you have your regular customers. And this is just one more thing to show your customers appreciation, that you take your job seriously, that you want them to enjoy your cup of coffee to start your day, or maybe take a break in the afternoon. And then you get to look forward to drinking this cup. And it's sometimes it's almost too pretty to, you know, destroy, you know, by taking the drink. But you get to see, you know, hey, this person is really talented and made a rose, you know, out of coffee and foam. And
right.
So
I think Elizabeth Gilbert is the one who says creativity is making something more beautiful than it has to be.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll start with that definition. Let's stay in Vermilion, Jackie Hendry, and this incredible mural, which was a great story. Is it this summer that they, or summer of 2019?
It was completed.
That this first part of the project was completed. Tell us about this mural. In words, it's almost hard to express. It's like you have to see this video.
It really is, and this is a key point of the piece, and it's very true. You can't really truly appreciate the beauty and the magnitude of this mural in Vermilion unless you're standing in front of it. It's so vibrant. It's in an alleyway right next to Vermilion City Hall. To describe it a little bit, the focal point of this mural is an indigenous woman breastfeeding two infants. There's a gorgeous star quilt design of an eagle spreading its wings behind her, waves of a flood destroying the world behind her. And then at the bottom of the mural, you see two young indigenous women kind of pulling two sides of a cord. On the one side, one young woman dressed in more traditional regalia. The other side, the woman dressed in more traditional clothing. And it's an amalgamation of all these different ideas about indigeneity, the role of women in their own society and in our communities. And it also has a Lakota name, and I have some tape from one of the assistant artists, Liz Sky, talking about how they came upon the title of this mural.
And Kicha too. It means to become all right again, to be restored. And the final interpretation is to come back to life. And when I talked to my Lakota language teacher, I asked him if I could use it metaphorically. We are coming back to life, as in we are reviving our traditions. He said, yes, we can, because originally it means like, oh, we're running a lot, you know, we're dehydrated. You drink water and you come back to life and you're restored. But to me, it meant something deeper.
Jackie, I want to get at this idea that, you know, in a community art in the first place, you can't take it home. You walk by it. It's not, it's, you know, fairly permanent. It's there for the long term. There's a community process in sort of planning what you want that to be, a community process in painting it and getting the visuals onto the wall. When you stand in front of it, when you don't have somebody interpreting what it is, there's a lot of symbolism in there that can speak different messages to different people.
Yeah, and that's really true. You know, I personally have my own soft spot for Vermilion. I went to school there and all these things, but standing in front of that mural and knowing a bit of the story behind it, not even when I first saw it, all the different pieces of the symbolism, and there's some incredible interpretation there. But just knowing that this mural started with community meetings at the library in different places in town with people, not just indigenous artists, but just other folks living in Vermilion talking about what they really want to represent in this mural. And then bringing different pictures and pieces together, and then having community paint days where you've got a bunch of kids holding paintbrushes on this wall. And it's really incredible to think that, you know, decades from now, people can come back and look, those kids can come back with their kids and look at this piece of their community that they helped to really beautify. And also it represents a greater history of the community as well.
Yeah, they sort of mark off a little, the artist will mark off a little spot for you to paint, and then they'll give you the brush and your color. And even after, years after, because I was part with my daughter of a mural project here in Sioux Falls by her middle school, years after you can drive by and you can point to the spot that you painted. I painted that little corner right there, and remember that whole experience comes rushing back. Tell us who the lead artist is on this one.
Lead artist is Rana Hernandez. She's also an indigenous artist, and she you know, never really expected to see herself in that kind of leadership position. This was new for her, and she talked a little bit about reflecting on that process, and here's a bit of what she had to say the evening of the dedication of this mural.
To be at this point where I'm at now, to understand that
these stories, the ones that are unheard, are important for everyone. It's valuable to not only the people that we're representing, but to the community members, because like I said, this story isn't just our story, it's a collective story, it's a story for everyone.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking about an upcoming episode of A Dakota Life, which is Thursday at 8 Central, 7 Mountain, really focusing on the arts in South Dakota and just these little vignettes of artistic expression throughout the state. And let's talk theater, Katie Beam, because the South Dakota Shakespeare Festival is another sort of annual tradition in the state.
That's right. So since 2011, the South Dakota Shakespeare Festival has put on a play by Shakespeare in Vermilion at Prentice Park, which is this old stone amphitheater in Prentice Park, which was built in 1937. And actors and costume designers and set builders and all sorts of volunteers come from not only Vermilion, but the entire U.S. to put on the play. And all those folks descend on Vermilion for about a month, sometimes more. And last summer, the Shakespeare Festival produced A Midsummer Night's Dream. And that was directed by Shakespearean Madeline Sayet, who is from the Mohegan tribe. And in addition to long rehearsals and set building and costume fittings, the festival tries to involve the cast and crew in the community. So last year, the director, Madeline Sayet, and her Midsummer cast and crew put on a number of community events and outreach. And those included theater workshops for high school kids in the summer college prep program Upward Bound. And Melissa and I wanted to show folks a peek into some of those scenes that go on behind the actual production.
So, go ahead.
So we caught up with the theater workshops, and we spoke specifically with Kenny Ramos, who is an actor from Barona, California, who auditioned and was cast as Puck. And he put on theater workshops in contemporary American Indian theater.
So the South Dakota Shakespeare Festival, that's what brought me here to Vermilion. And I actually haven't had the chance to work on a Shakespeare show professionally. So this seemed like a great opportunity. I haven't seen many Shakespeare shows before, but I love theater and I'm an actor, but I'm also a Native person. So I guess my exposure to that kind of stuff, you know, wasn't necessarily dominant in my upbringing.
So much in this Dakota life. Melissa, Katie, and Jackie, thank you so much for coming here today and giving us just a sneak peek. So everybody tune in at 8 Central, 7 Mountain for the whole, and online too, right, Melissa? You can find all these segments online. Yeah. Yep. Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Lori. You.